Saturday, the 14th of January 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 65th session on Mindfulness for Beginners. And on behalf of all of us, I would like to welcome with much respect Venerable Bhante Homadhumadhamutisarathero to today's program. And I would also like to welcome all those of you who are joining through Zoom and through live streaming on the Facebook Vipassana Foundation. And our program will run and commence with in-session mindfulness practice guided by Bhante, and then we will move on to the question and answer session and then to the talk on mindfulness. After that, we will wrap up the program for today. So I hope all of you will gather many insights for your practice and training in today's session. And with that, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence the session proceedings with the in-session mindfulness practice today. Over to Bhante.
Good day, everybody. Now, as the starting part of our program, we are going to practice mindfulness. Probably 15 to 20 minutes we will take for this. So today we can do a sitting session. I think last week we did a walking practice. So today we are going to do a sitting session. For this, you have to make sure that your seating is adjusted. Make sure that you are seated comfortably. And if you are willing, you can turn on the video as well and join more actively. Once you are comfortable with the seating, close your eyes and be aware that you are seated. Notice what you feel when you pay attention like this. Initially, you might notice the surrounding sounds. Various sounds might come and go. Nature sounds, vehicle noises, other people talking, working. Just be aware how a variety of sounds come and go. Apart from sounds, you may feel bodily sensations as well. Bring your attention to the seated body and notice what are the sensations that are there. You may feel the pressure on your back, the pressure on your legs, and how the feet is touching the ground. In addition, some of you might notice the breathing happening inside your body. Probably you feel the breath touching your nostrils, going in and out. Some of you might feel this movement of your stomach or chest according to the breath. Just observe where the breath is prominent and you can pay attention to that point. Breath goes in, comes out after a while. Again, it goes in, comes out. Time to time, thoughts, memories might appear. Among these thoughts, you know that you are seated. You know that you are breathing. Sometimes you may feel sleepy. Sometimes you may feel pain, aches inside your body. Allow them to be there while knowing that you are seated, while knowing that you are breathing. Sounds come and go, thoughts come and go, various other things appear and disappear. But among all these things, you are aware. You know that you are seated. You know that you are breathing. As a group, let's try to be aware for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you may open your eyes again. So that's our time for mindful sitting today. And you can try this on your own. Every day, at least try to reserve some time, probably like 15, 20 minutes of mindful sitting daily. It's a good habit to start your day with a sitting session. 15, 20 minutes of mindful sitting to start your day. And you do it as the very first activity of the day, right? So that way you should be practicing on your own. After practicing only, we can discuss further on the practice. With that, Namanta, you can take over.
All right. Thank you.
Namanta, I'm having a difficulty hearing you. Not sure whether it is my side only. Sonali, can you hear?
Yeah, it's a bit faint.
Is it better now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah, yes. Thanks for that and apologies. Okay. So with that, thank you so much, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante for that guidance. And with that, we will move on to our Q&A session commencement. And I would like to invite Sonali to proceed with the Q&A session. Over to Sonali. Thank you.
Thank you, Namanta. I will start with the report. There is a little bit of background noise on my side because it's a very windy day here. I do apologize for that. I'll start with the first report. It's mindful sitting, breath as primary object. Sat on the cushion, gently closed the eyes. After a quick body scan, the breath appeared, which was felt around the upper lip area. In-breath was slightly colder than the out-breath. Mind stayed with the sensation of air flow near the nostrils. Thoughts appeared and passed away. Attention naturally moved to the breath. After some time, the breath felt subtle. Mind continued to observe the breath. Few thoughts arose, but they disappeared into the background. Body felt calmer and lighter. Although the breath couldn't be felt prominently, the lighter feeling of the body was noted more. There was peace in mind, subtle breath noted again, towards the end of the meditation, sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness during the day. Both the mind and body felt buoyant and light after the sitting practice early in the morning. Past couple of weeks were difficult mentally, mainly due to future planning of important events that would take place soon. When the mental pressure continued to rise, I remember the feedback from Bhante from last week's report. Find the time to just sit with a coffee or tea, just to be. Tried these few times last week and made a resolution to let go of the agitation in the mind, which was there due to wanting to plan the events happening in a particular order. Soon after that resolution, the tension headache almost disappeared. The limbs and the knots in the stomach also slowly relaxed. Mind had come to terms with any possible outcome of the planned events. Whatever happens, will happen, and that would be okay. With this realization, both mind and body felt calmer and spacious. Noted that nothing has really changed externally. Work was still there to be completed, and also household chores to attend to. However, there was no internal conflict about tasks at hand or the future planning now. The lighter feeling of the mind and body from the morning meditation had continued through the day pretty much uninterrupted. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers. That is the end of report, Bhante.
Okay, thank you for sharing. As you can see, now with practice, the body becomes lighter and the breath becomes subtle. This is how it is progressing. So in a way, the surrounding or the world becomes lighter, becomes subtle with practice. you can see this change within a sitting session. When you start your meditation, the breath is strong and you can feel it rough. But gradually the intensity of breath is reducing, and that's a good sign that even the intensity of the world is reducing. Breath is an indicator for the world. Whatever the things that you mentioned towards the end of your report, that's the same thing as breath. So in meditation, we take it as an indicator for the world. And you can see the burden, the world, become lighter and lighter when you meditate. This is the purpose with an object. We take this breath as the primary object. And you can see it's an indicator of the world. And you can see how the burden is becoming lighter and lighter. The world is becoming lighter and lighter. So this is a good progress. Similarly, this same change will happen in your day-to-day life. Now you notice that the pressure is building up. Now intentionally you have to let go. That's what you are talking about, taking a break, taking a coffee break. Don't try to meditate, just, you know, let it be for a while. Just 5 minutes, 10 minutes of a break, just to calm yourself. So initially at this phase, you are intentionally doing it. You are intentionally calming yourself. You are intentionally letting go, right? But when you do this again and again, when you practice this again and again, your mind is naturally letting go. It becomes habitual. Now the training part, it is, you have to think, you have to make a determination, you have to intentionally take a break. That's the training part. Repetitive training again and again. You train these healthy behaviors. And with time, you realize it is naturally happening. Your mind is naturally letting go. That's the purpose of repetitive practice. Let it be these habits that we are trying to develop. Let it be these healthy habits that we are trying to develop. Or let it be the meditation. Gradually, it is developing. Gradually, it is becoming habitual. So that's the purpose. That's why we are connected every week here. That's why we practice daily. This is how you can introduce these healthy changes to your mind. There's no other way. That's why religion has grasped this grasp the importance of repetitive training. You know, even other religions, like they chant daily or they pray God few times a day. Repetitive, really, they are training yourself, repetitive practice. So similarly, here when we practice mindfulness, we are doing it again and again till it becomes habitual. So that's how you can deal with your mind. You can't just put something in and, you know, maintain it forever. That's not how it's going to work with the mind. Instead, gradually, daily, you have to train yourself. That repetitive training will allow you to create these healthy habits. That repetitive training will allow you, your mind, to naturally let go. Now here, when we hear your report, you are forcefully taking a break. You are forcefully letting go. You are forcefully releasing the burden. That's how we start. That's how we start. So we are happy to hear your progress. We are happy to hear that you are implementing these things in your life. Continue to do it. Notice the pressure building. And when you notice it, you know when to take a break. Again, after a few hours, it'll build up. Again, you know when to take a break. Again, after a few hours, it'll build up. Again, you know when to take a break. During these break times, you can just be in nature, have a cup of coffee, or have a snack, or go for a walk. Something like that you can do. Various things are there. You can try out. So that's how we are going to progress. Continue with the sitting practice as well. Now you have made good progress there. You have to make sure that daily you are doing it. and day-to-day life also notice this pressure building, do the observation again and again. With that, you know what to do next. With that, you know how to develop these healthy habits. So thank you for sharing, and you may share your experience once again.
Thank you, Bhante. Now we will move on to the questions. Has anyone got any questions? Please raise your Zoom hand and I will let you unmute yourself and ask the question. Does look like we have no questions. Oh, there is a hand. I think is that Kihanta? Would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. Good morning, Bhante. You have probably mentioned this before, but if you don't mind repeating, can you clarify again exactly what is the objective and the purpose of observing the present moment? It's a fundamental thing. I hope you can explain again.
Jihanta, can you repeat the question again?
Yes, Bhante. What is the purpose and the objective of observing the present moment? I believe it is a fundamental thing that you have mentioned before, but I would like if you could clarify that again, please.
Okay, so let's see this now. In our body, or when we live, there could be friction, right? So maintaining this body, going to work, earning things. So there is friction, right? It is natural that there is friction. But in addition to this friction, or in addition to this pain, there is a suffering part as well. Usually this suffering part is created out of the mind, not out of the body, not out of the incidents or people that we face, right? So you it's natural that you feel pain, but the suffering part, it varies from one individual to another, right? Some people have a huge suffering portion. Some people maybe have a slightly lower suffering portion, right? So this is created out of the mind. Now, living, there's a friction. That friction is natural to our life. That pain is natural to our life. But out of our mind, we create suffering. That suffering is so overwhelming. The suffering is difficult to absorb. How this suffering is created? Usually when we worry about the future, when we think about the past, that's how the suffering is created. The pain is there in the present moment, or the friction is there in the present moment, but suffering usually manifests out of the past or the future. Right. So let's say they have done some researches and they figured out that our mind is 50-50%. 50% of the time, approximately 50% of the time, the mind is present. Remaining 50% of the time, mind goes to either past or the future. That's what they have figured out. Right. So when you go to the past or the future, it's natural that the friction arises. Or the suffering arises, right? You start to worry. You start to plan things. When those plans doesn't work out, then you worry more. That's how you live, right? So these people, they have figured out that if this percentage is lower, let's say if you are present 49% of the time, if you are present 48% of the time, then they have figured out you are moving towards mental illnesses like depression or severe illnesses that are there. Let's say in the other direction, if you are 51% present, if you are 52% present, then they figured out you are healthy in your mind. you have better social connections, you can endure difficulties in life, you know how to deal with other people properly. So those advantages come, empathy, emotional intelligence, those qualities come, right? So it's utterly dependent on the present moment, the amount your mind is present, the percentage your mind is present. If your mind is present like 48% of the time, then you move towards those mental illnesses, difficulties. Then if your mind is present 52% of the time, then your mind is more healthy. You are able to live with less suffering in your mind. So those researchers have shown us that how important it is to be present. So that's the idea of being present. If your mind is present, friction could be there, but there won't be suffering, right? More and more present you are, suffering will reduce more and more. That's what we are talking about. When we worry about the future, when we think about the past, the suffering arises, pressure builds up, difficulties, friction, you start to feel more and more. If your mind is present, you are more calm and relaxed. So that's the purpose of training yourself. Being present, being mindful is the way. For that, we start to observe the body. Bodily sensations, they assure that we are present. When we feel the bodily sensations, we know for sure that we are present. That's why we give priority to the body. That's why we give priority to body while walking, sitting, and day-to-day activities. That way, you have to train yourself to be present. Train your mind to be present. And when you do it, you realize within few weeks, within few months, you start to feel much less levels of suffering in your mind. Because suffering is created out of the lost mind, or the mind that goes to the past or the future. I hope I answered your question.
Thank you, Bhante. There's another hand raised. Samantha, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you, Bhante, for explaining that as well. Because recently I too have been wondering, or the question of mindfulness came to my mind as well. Why that is emphasized as an important role. And before it was just like a habit, mindfulness, 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 and not really understanding the true value of it. And what I found was I found that, again, what Bhante was saying, being in the present, and Dihanta was asked that question, why? And I was asking myself, why is it that the mind naturally clings to the past and the future all the time? It's to and froing, and it's never wanting to be in the present moment naturally, as nature intended. Like, you know, I suppose if that's what the Dhamma is all about, the nature. And I was questioning that, and then I realized in situations of stress, when I found that if I'm in the present moment and just focusing on what I'm actually doing in the now, and not thinking about embroiled in all the, you know, what in the past, what happened, and analyzing it, and future expectations, and, you know, getting all stressed about it, I did feel a sense of release. And I think happiness, in a way, in that moment, being in the present. So I thought, oh, this mindfulness, it's really, really, it does work, you know. And just as Bhante was explaining earlier on as well, just a sense of letting go, it's really good to develop that thing. I mean, it's easy to say, but obviously to let go, especially if you have negative emotions, but even that, if I start analyzing that emotions is just the a feeling that will arise and pass away, and see that, and gradually I suppose by just meditation, just keep on practicing on a daily basis, which I've sort of started now to do meditation every day, early stages, but I'm determined to keep on doing it. So I think you feel that you're letting go all the time. So I wonder whether that is the process that goes hand in hand and putting mindfulness, why Buddha also emphasized the importance of mindfulness. So that is that because also in the present moment, that's the only time that you have control to be able to not create new karma, new bad karma, unwholesome karma. And that's the only time that you can take the right action. Bhante.
Right. So when we think about the reasoning for the current behavior of your mind, the reasoning or the cause is past, right? Then the cause for the future would be the present, right? So when we think about the past, although there are past causes, we don't really have a control over them. What we have control over is the present moment, right? So if you want to protect the future, you have to protect the present moment. If you want to get rid of the past bad behaviors or bad habits, then of course you have to protect it in the present moment. And gradually the behavior will change. Gradually your mind will be more and more accepting towards the present moment. So it's like you are experiencing a glimpse of this. Right, when you practice, you experience for a while, then again the mind moves in the natural direction, natural flow is there, again it becomes unmindful, again it goes with the thoughts, again after a few hours only you realize you have gotten lost. So in meditation we realize that we got lost and we start over. That's what we do again and again, we do it. You notice that you have gotten lost and you start over again and again and again. That's the process of meditation. You get lost towards the past or the future and you start over. You observe your breath again. This is the process. So that's why it's important that you are practicing daily and continue with it and continue to share your experience with the practicing sessions as well. What you do as walking, what you do as sitting, that very experience is important. That's the gradual approach towards changing this behavior of our mind. Gradually it'll change. You just need repetitive training. You just need to continue with this type of approach. Then you realize when you change the present, when you protect the present moment, the future will be protected. And behavior of our mind will gradually change towards the healthy direction. So that's the idea I want to give. Continue with your formal practice and you will experience these things more and more. Now you have a glimpse of that experience. You can increase it when you practice again and again.
Thank you, Bhante. That's really helpful. Yeah, I think, as you say, once you get that, catch that little glimpse, it's interesting to see where, how it'll grow. So thank you for the encouragement. Thank you. Sadhu.
Thank you for that question, Samantha. There is one more raised hand. Would you like to unmute yourself and ask the question?
Thank you. Avasarai Bhante. Thank you. That was very helpful. Sometimes I notice it's quite easy to be mindful, like when walking, for example, whereas sometimes there's a resistance in the mind. It doesn't want to be mindful. It's looking for another external stimulation, like listening to something while doing a task, or speaking to someone else while doing a task. What do you do when you have that sense of resistance in the mind from not wanting to be mindful? Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah, just know that these situations are also temporary. This too shall pass with time. You just have to, you know, continue. And after a few hours, after a few days, you realize your mind is again able to maintain good levels of mindfulness. Again, after a few days, you feel like you are lost. You can't really focus. You can't really be mindful. These are just phases in your practice. What you have to do is know that these temporary experiences, they pass, right? They pass. Just, you know, you just have to continue with the practice. When you continue, you realize sometimes it is able to stay mindfully. Sometimes this mind is not so mindful. These are just experiences. These are just experiences. We don't favor one thing over the other. Instead, both are experiences. We say both are similar experiences. Initially, of course, a beginner, they would favor the being mindful state much better over the agitated state of mind. That's just beginner's point of view. For a beginner, of course, we encourage that. But with time, you realize both of these states are equal. They are just another state of this mind. Either you could be really mindful, or either your mind could be agitated. Both experiences we take in a similar manner. We look at them in a similar attitude. So that will come with the experience. That will come with the repetitive practice. That will come with, you know, facing these difficult situations. Then only you realize either it's peaceful or mindfully, either it's peaceful or you are able to observe the primary object more and more. Either it is agitated, your mind is all over the place. Still, you are able to, you know, be with that process, be with that experience. So that's the way towards the proper practice. Initially, we favor the calm or the mind that's able to observe the primary object more and more. But with time, with practice, you realize both of these states are equal. They are just another thing that's passing through this mind. So that's the attitude you should have.
Thank you, Bante, for that response. And there is another question. Pandula, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. I just want to say one thing. My practice is progressing, but I thought just to give a little bit of what's going on. So the walking is quite normal. I could see it. So I do regularly 30 minutes. So it's changing day to day. So some days I could feel quite strongly my heel touching. So like today it's, I don't feel it like heel, but I can feel entire sole is touching the floor. And it's mine drifted away, then it comes back naturally. So when it comes to sitting practice, Bhante, it's okay the first 10 minutes. So I can understand it, the posture, the movement of the mind. So I'll stay with the whatever status. So if it is with the breath or if it is a thought, so there's no difference. Last few, I might say the last 2 months even, mostly I feel like a more, like it's a dullness in, say, like it's not much, it's quite subtle movement in the mind. So I'm trying to see it, say, like it's, I don't feel that much of the breath, but so it's, I could see it, it's settled down. So after 10 minutes, I felt, I feel like a drowsiness. So when I feel that drowsy, rarely I'm able to catch it up. I try to observe it. So like some days I can see its drowsiness. I can see the main object. So I can see it, it's nicely settled down. So soon after 10, 15 minutes, I fall to sleep. So I might get up after 30 minutes, but there's not much to complain, Bhante, but I thought I had to just mention to you. Thank you, Bhante.
Okay, so it's natural that you feel these type of things in your practice, especially when you practice for some time, although you are able to observe your breath very closely in the initial periods. With time, this type of experience is natural, right? It's like, you know, the breath is there, but your mind is not so energized to observe it closely. Or you know that your mind is calm. You know that the attention is there, but you feel this dullness or like sleepy nature in your mind, or boredom is there. That's fine. That's another experience. Oh, that's how it is progressing. Usually, we don't prefer this. We don't like to appreciate this. We prefer that, you know, energetic state. We prefer observing the primary object more and more. But when you practice for a while, when you have been practicing for few months, few years, then you realize that state, that initial state will go away. And you start to experience this kind of a boredom or this kind of a lack of energy towards the practice. It is natural. It is natural. In a way, we are caught if we have this energy towards the worldly things. Usually we are attracted towards the vivid, colorful things that are there, right? That will create so much energy within us. When we see something very beautiful, when we are attracted to something, then we feel so much energy. Let's say when we are angry, still we are attracted towards something and we feel so much energy. Let's say when we are jealous, still that's attraction towards something and we feel so much energy. So that's how we experience this world. That's how we function in this world. These things are like motivators. Anger, it's a motivation. Jealousy, it's another motivation. Lust, that's another motivation, right? So these things motivate us in this world, to function in this world, to perform in this world. But when the energy of these things reduces, that motivation will also reduce. That's the experience that you are having. That's the experience usually meditators feel with time. But you have to tell your mind again and again that this is a good thing. This is a good thing that you are losing interest in this world. It's a good thing that you are losing motivation towards these things, right? So you have to somehow go through this phase. When you go through this phase, you realize when you let go of these motivative factors, then you are vibing with the nature. When you let go of these things, then you start to vibe with the nature, and that is the proper rhythm. That is the natural vibration to us. Right? When you're vibing with the nature, they call it the flow state. naturally you can perform, naturally you do things, right? And you realize that is the most efficient way to practice. Earlier you had a lot of motivation, earlier you had a lot of energy, but the energy wastage was so high. Now you don't have so much energy. Now you don't have, you are not so much motivated, but still your efficiency is much higher. When that energy loss is lower, the friction will also reduce. Stress will also reduce. All these things will reduce. And you are performing much efficiently and you are performing with less friction, less stress. That's the idea. So in these phases, you have to somehow allow them to pass. Tell your mind again and again that this is a good thing that you are losing interest. It's a good thing that it is not so motivated to continue, right? Somehow you face these situations and gradually you vibe with the nature. You realize the nature's rhythm. And with that, you become more and more efficient. You work with the nature. You become a part of the nature. So that's the idea. So continue with this practice. Continue with this phase. And you can figure it out for yourself.
Thank you, Bhante. Yeah, I understood that, Bhante. Even the sitting practice, there's not much motivation. But during the day, I still felt it's quite relaxed. I don't feel I haven't done the whole sitting session. So I'll thank you very much for that, Bhante. Thank you.
Thank you, Bandula, for that question. We actually have one more question. Can we ask Kaushalya to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you for the opportunity. And Namaste, Hamadurone. Actually, I, of course, practice mindful walking, mindful sitting. I have less time with my housework and other work. To do mindful sitting, I really find very less time. When I get a chance to sit, I do, but not for a long time. But only thing I just want to know is during the day-to-day work also, I try to be mindful, but sometimes the mind goes here and there. Then I realize that my mind goes, and even when I'm sweeping, when I'm doing some work, at housework or some whatever, I realize that my mind goes, then I call that, but recall that my mind went off and that I'm struggling to get back. And anyway, I try to be mindful on and on. But I just want to know whether it is all right to practice this mindfulness during the day-to-day work also. When I deal with my children's work, the walking, buying goods outside in shops and driving at every time. Is it okay, or is that only should I practice with the mindful walking and sitting only?
It's okay to practice. Right, it's okay to practice during day-to-day life. Actually, the idea of the formal meditation, as you mentioned, the walking and sitting, we call it the formal meditation. The idea of the formal meditation is to allow you to be mindful throughout the day. It's like going to a gym and exercising. You have this separate time developing this quality of mindfulness in your mind, or we can even call it the muscle of mindfulness in your mind, right? So that formal practice is like going to a gym and some allocated time only for this practice. Why the reasoning for doing it? Because when you go to your day-to-day life, things are so strong, you have so many things on your plate. Sometimes it's difficult to be mindful among these things. You realize that you get lost again and again. That's because that quality of mindfulness is not strong enough. You are not able to face the pressure that day-to-day life creates. So that's why we encourage the formal practice. Of course, the idea is to be mindful throughout the day. The idea is to stay mindful. And if you can do it, then even you don't need the formal meditation. But the problem is that it is difficult to do. You get lost again and again. Then you realize that it is better to reserve some time. It's like going to a gym, exercising, developing these muscles in your body so you are able to do whatever the things that you want to do properly. Similarly, we reserve some time for formal meditation. And with that time, we develop this muscle of mindfulness in our mind. Right. So we understand some people, it's difficult to reserve time for formal meditation. Right. Let's say sitting at least like 15-20 minutes sitting session, if you can include in your day-to-day life, that's a very good period, value addition period, right? And probably walking, you walk few kilometers daily. You go outside, you walk inside your house, you go to work. Various things are there. So every day we walk a few kilometers. When we walk, we are usually giving our attention to the destination. We have that destination in our mind. We go to the market, we go back home, right? The destination is the priority when we walk. But if we can make the journey a priority, if you can pay attention that you are walking instead of the destination, then that's the practice. Appreciating the journey instead of the destination, that's the practice. So every day while walking few kilometers, try to catch few steps every now and then. Again and again, you try to catch few steps. Place your steps mindfully and notice the sensations that you feel when you walk. That very practice is important. And if you, or even you don't have a separate time for walking, during the daily activities, while walking few kilometers, if you can catch few steps every now and then that's a great way to continue your practice. Then daily other activities also, you can be mindful. But the idea of the formal practice is to develop this muscle. It's like going to a gym. So if you can reserve some time for it, it's important. At least start with like 20 minutes of sitting. Walking you can cover during your daily activities, but sitting is also important. Try to include that part as well.
Thank you, Swami Mahansa.
Thank you for that question. I can see Namant has raised a hand as well.
Oh, thank you, Sonali. Bhante, I just wanted to share quickly an experience that I had today. I usually try to practice theoretically mindfulness over 24 hours, 7 days. That's a theoretical expectation. Practically, I'm not sure what percentage is achieved. But I was driving today in the last 1.5 hours prior to this program, and I was feeling tired and sleepy as well. And so I thought, I usually drive even when I'm sleepy, feeling sleepy. Knowing that since I'm practicing mindfulness at that each instant, I will not be in trouble with a car accident. So I did the same thing today, thinking I can manage it. And I could feel in 1/3 of a second, the image in the eyes was kind of frozen and I could not think. It happened for about not even 1 second, maybe 1/3 of a second. I felt as if the muscles in the eyelids were closing them, but they were not closed. They were open because I was mindful about the picture. It was open, but the mind was frozen. So I thought, okay, this is something I have not seen before. Maybe quite dangerous to keep on driving. So I had a small nap for 3 minutes on the roadside and started driving again. But I knew that at that time I was asleep. But the image was there in the eye, but asleep driving at 80 or 90 kilometers per hour, for about very slight time. So it was a very sharp moment of understanding, okay, this is something that mindfulness can tell us. So I just wanted to share that it just happened in the last within the last 2 hours. Thank you, Bhante.
Oh, that very knowing will protect you, right? That very knowing is important. When you know, then you can do something about it. If you don't know, then you can't really do anything. That's the important, right? So that's how this knowing will come and save us. We try to be aware what's happening. That very awareness will allow us to do the proper thing, do the correct thing. That very awareness will tell us what to do. That's why even the earlier reports, they were mentioning that they could feel the pressure building up. And that very awareness will tell you that you need a break. And you notice that this is happening. It's better to take a break and sleep at least for a few minutes. Or take a small break. Or take a cup of coffee. That very awareness is what is protecting us. If you don't know, then you can't really do anything about it. Right? So we are not trying to achieve perfection. It's difficult. Right? Always we make mistakes. As you mentioned, 24/7, try to be mindful. That's the ideal goal. But there are no, now even in science, they teach about ideal gases. They develop these equations for ideal gases. Towards the end of the lesson, after teaching all the equations, after teaching the behavior of ideal gases, then towards the end of the session, they say there are no such thing as ideal gases. The real gases, they vary from this behavior. The real gases differ from this behavior. So we are not after perfection. That's not our target. We know the ideal way is to be mindful 24/7, but it is not possible. We make mistakes. For the sake of humanity, we know that we make mistakes. So that way, we are compassionate towards ourselves. We know that we make mistakes. We allow so many chances. Thousand and one chances are there for you to correct yourself. Only if you know the correct path. Only if you know that you are making mistakes. Only if you know that these things are there. Then you have the option of correcting yourself. Even let's say, seeing a fault as a fault, it's important. If you don't see it as a fault, then of course you can't correct yourself. The very first step is to see the fault as a fault. Then although you can't correct it immediately, you know this is a bad thing. You know that you are doing it again and again. That very knowing will show you the proper direction. So that's the idea of the awareness. That's why we consider all the things equally under the light of awareness. It could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing, but we give them equal weight. The reasoning being this, because we don't want to spoil the awareness with anything, right? We, good thing or the bad things, we consider them equally and we observe again and again. That very observation will show you the proper direction. Okay.
Yes, Bhante. Much made. Thank you.
I think we don't have any more hands raised. So I think that's probably the end of the questions. Thank you to everyone who asked questions. Some of them are very relatable for most of us at some point in the day or in the last week. Thank you, Bhante and Namanta. It's over to you now.
Thank you and much praise to Bhante, and thank you and much praise to Sonali for the Q&A session. And next on our agenda is a brief introduction to any beginners who joined the session today, and also a refresher for the advanced practitioners. I have few points to be listed out and described, and I will share the slide related to that. Okay, I think you can see the screen now. Excuse me. There are two videos in the first point shown. About one is about mindful walking, and the other is on mindful sitting. And these links are in the Zoom chat section at the moment, so you can copy them off. They describe what to do and what to expect during each type of session. We predominantly advise based on mindful walking and mindful sitting for commencing mindfulness practice, because it's very simple but very profound when you develop the habit and keep on practicing. Next step is a bit of a hard task, where you allocate some proportion or some portion of your daily available time for each of these sessions. So we advise you to start with mindful walking, then move on to mindful sitting with equal time periods for each. And if you're a beginner, you can start with 5 minutes to 15 minutes time interval for each session. As you advance in the process, you can extend the time period to maybe 1 hour for each session. That's what the time allocation is all about. And then third point is about writing your experience. That is also part of the practice, because when you write about what you experience, you develop more knowledge in your mind about what you have experienced, and how to describe it, how to put it into wording will help you to understand it all that better. So you can write about, if it is a mindful walking session you are writing, you can write about the about what you felt, the disturbances you observed, and how your focus shifted away from the primary object and then shifted back into the primary object. So if it is mindful breathing or mindful awareness of your body during a mindful sitting session, you can again similarly write about the disturbances, how the focus was shifting or moving between obstacles or disturbances and the primary object. Once you write this report, you can write both, or you can write on one aspect of these sessions and then email them to beginnersinme@gmail.com, or submit it through the Google form. Again, that link is there in the Zoom chat section. So the fifth point is about the session recordings being available online on that session link. So all these links are there in the Zoom chat section and will be there until the end of session. So you can copy them to a file in your computer or in your phone. So with that, this introduction ends. I will stop sharing the screen so we can move on to the next task at hand. All right. So then I would like to invite Venerable Bante Homagamu Dhamma Kusala Thero, with much respect, for us to kindly have the chance of hearing Bante's talk on mindfulness. Over to Bante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namantha. I think we can take probably like 15 minutes discussing a little bit more about the practice. Now, today, I just want to mention the importance of proper practice. Now, although you can walk as formal meditation, although you can sit as formal meditation, we should know what is the way to practice properly. Although you can walk, although you can sit, you have to make sure that you are practicing properly. Just because you sit, just because you walk, it doesn't mean that you are meditating. Instead, you should know what is the proper way. That very knowing will take some time. That very knowing will take a few weeks, few months of repetitive practice. And that's the way you have to develop your practice. Otherwise, you can just walk. But are you mindful? Are you practicing properly? That's a question to be asked. You can sit, but are you mindful? Are you practicing properly? That's a question to be asked. So you have to make sure, although you are practicing, you have to make sure that you are practicing properly. That's why initially we give very little instructions. When you go through those videos, it's about 7 minutes each for walking and sitting, 7 minutes each. Basic guideline, basic instructions. Then some people, they are not happy about these instructions. Some people say that they need much more information. But intentionally, we are not giving so much info. Intentionally, we give this simple guidance. What is the reason? Your path will develop in a unique way. You can't really explain your path with words. You can't really explain the practice with words. You have to practice for yourself and you have to identify your unique path. That very identification will take some time. That very identification will take repetitive practice hours. That's why we ask you to listen to these basic instructions, very simple instructions. Then we ask you to practice. We ask you to walk for a while. We ask you to sit for a while. That walking, sitting will tell you how you are experiencing this concept of mindfulness, how you are able to maintain your mindfulness while walking and while sitting. Then you have to come back and share that very experience with us. When you share that experience, we can of course have a discussion regarding it. We can of course have a discussion. What's the way to practice properly? What's the way that you should maintain your attention? What is the object that you should keep your attention? That very discussion is important. That feedback is important. With that feedback, then you go and practice again. Again, within a few days, within a week or two, you have another experience or you have your experience with the given feedback. Then again, you come and share your experience with the group. Again, we can have a discussion regarding the experience. What's the proper way to practice? That very discussion will allow you to adjust yourself again and you can focus on your practice. So this is how the path will develop. This is how the practice will develop. It's a unique path that's opening up for you and that path will always evolve. Today's instructions won't be valid for tomorrow. Because the path is evolving. Today I might give you some instruction, but when you come next week, I might give a different set of instructions. That's because your path is evolving. And depending on that change, we should be giving different instructions. So that's why this discussion, this program is very valuable that you have to practice on your own. You have to come and share that experience. And with that experience sharing, we can have a discussion. And based on that discussion, you can go and practice again. This loop should continue for a while. It's like there's this loop again and again. You are practicing, giving or sharing your experience, then we get a feedback. Again, you go and practice. That's the loop that's there. Again and again, we should encourage this loop for few months, few years. Then you will develop confidence in your practice. You will know what's the proper way to practice. That very experience will tell you. We can talk about the practice. So we can say 1001 words, but those words won't help because we experience this practice in a unique way. our path will always develop in a unique way. So you have to practice on your own. You have to experience on your own. That experience will be much more valuable than the words that we are discussing here. That experience will be much more worthwhile. And when you experience, you know what we are talking about. Even today's discussion, someone mentioned that when you experience, you realize what you have been talking about all along. When you experience, that's a different level of motivator towards the practice. That experience will allow you to practice more and more. That experience will tell you that this practice works. Most people, they doubt. Usually when it comes to doubt, usually when it comes to questions, the basic sign is that they haven't practiced. When you don't practice, you have doubts. When you don't practice, you have questions. But when you practice, you experience. When you experience, the doubts will vanish. The questions will vanish. Why? Because you know for yourself. You have experienced. So that's why we encourage daily formal meditation. At least 20-30 minutes of sitting practice. Then while walking few kilometers daily, you can try and be mindful every now and then. Try to catch few steps while walking. And with that approach, gradually you realize even day-to-day activities, you can be mindful while brushing your teeth, while drinking something, while having a cup of coffee, you can be mindful, you can be aware. That very practice will gradually develop when you put more and more time towards it. And when you experience for yourself, then there won't be any questions. When we experience for yourself, then there won't be doubts. Now you know that the practice works. Now you feel the practice works. Then there won't be any questions. Then there won't be any doubts. That's the way that you should be developing. That's the way that you should be progressing. It's important that you know the proper practice. You can't just practice awareness. You can't just observe your mind. That's not the way that we are recommending. Observing mind is a good way to get lost. Your mind is so changing so much. Your mind is so fast. If you keep observing your mind, that's a way to get lost. Instead, for a beginner, we give them proper instructions. We tell them to prioritize a bodily sensation. While walking, probably the sensation at their feet. While sitting, probably the breath or the posture. They are prioritizing that sensation. Gradually, you realize the thoughts are there. Emotions are there. Other sounds, various other things are there. But among these things, you are able to know that you are breathing again and again. You are able to know that you are walking again and again. That very knowing will evolve little by little. So it's important that you know the correct way of practice. In order to know it, you should be practicing, then you should be sharing your experience. Again and again, you should be doing it. And with time, you realize the proper way of practice. With time, with repetitive practice, you will figure it out. So the invitation for today is to figure out the proper way of practice. Although you walk, although you sit, it doesn't mean that you are meditating. It doesn't mean you are practicing mindfulness. That's just for the outside. Other people will think that you are meditating when you walk. Other people will think that you are meditating when you just sit, right? So it's good for that purpose, not for your benefit. The world will think that you are meditating when you walk. the world will think that you are meditating when you sit, but you have to make sure that you are meditating properly. You have to make sure that you know the proper way of practice. For that, you have to practice and share your experience. With that sharing, we can discuss. We can discuss whether it's the correct way of practice. And when you keep on doing it for a while, then you figure it out. You know what's the proper way of practice. And you can even teach somebody else. Teaching is a very good way to develop your own practice. Forget about developing other people's practice. But when you teach, you should know what you're talking about. You have to show the proper way, the proper path, proper practice. So when you teach to somebody else, you figure it out much better for yourself. The greater benefit will come towards you when you teach somebody. So if you have been practicing for a while, it's a good experiment to teach it to somebody new. Tell them that this is how you can do the walking meditation. This is how you can do the sitting meditation. Mm-hmm. Ask them to try it out. That's a good way to develop your own practice. Because in order to teach somebody, you should figure it out in your head first. In order to teach somebody, you should know the proper way of practice. So that will benefit both parties. Not only the other person, but it will benefit you as well. So that's how we will figure out the proper way of practice. And I invite all of you to try, experiment with this. And I invite you to figure out the proper way of practice. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for that excellent and insightful talk on mindfulness. Bhante's focus was on asking everyone to figure out your own unique style of practice by practicing mindfulness techniques as we put forward in this programs. So with that, I think we have run up to the closing time for today's session. So I would like to skip any questions on the talk itself and move on to closing of the program. So I would like to thank and share merit with the Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for representing Nisaranamane Forest Monastery and dedicating Bhante's own time and insight with us for this session. We wish Bhante's practice to improve with these kind actions from Bhante. Also, I would like to thank a most venerable Bhante Uday Iriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero for insightfully requesting this program to be, and we wish the same merits to be shared with the Chief Bhante and wish his own practice to improve. And I would also like to mention all the organizers who have worked hard during initiation of this program and who are still working hard to maintain the quality and positive impact from this program. So although I am the person doing this presentation as a host hosting the Zoom session, there are people who work harder than me on this program. So I would like to share merits with those people so that they will also improve their practice based on these kind actions from them. So thank you. And I would also like to thank all the participants who are participating. You are giving us the reason, the backbone to keep the program running. So your participation is much appreciated, and I would like to share minutes with you from as accumulated from these program sessions, and wish that your practice will improve and that these insights gained during the session will become beneficial and applicable for you in your own day-to-day life and also in the two types of mindfulness practice we advise, which is mindful walking and mindful sitting. Then with that, I would like to wrap up today's session and also to let you know that this program will be held same time next Saturday as well, as it is a weekly format program. And I would like to wish you a happy and mindful week ahead. And hope these teachings and lessons learnings will become very beneficial for you during the next week, and hope to see you next week, and have a mindful and happy week ahead. I will end this Zoom session soon. Thank you.